The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning. Here it is. A couple of months, almost 2 months exactly, after President Trump had an assassination attempt in Butler. And then there's one yesterday by his golf course. On his golf course. Just a bizarre turn of events here. We'll certainly talk about that off and on this morning. Join the conversation at 770-563-3770-KMED. My email, Bill, at BillMeyerShow.com. One of the questions I wanted to pose to you this morning is, what was your reaction when you found out that essentially we had, you know, a guy with an AK, a registered Democrat, Ryan Ruth? I've heard some people pronounce it Ralph. I'm hearing Ruth most of the time, so I think I'm going to stick with Ruth. And he was most recently from Hawaii, but he was actually from Greensboro, North Carolina, which is where my brother lives. And so I was just text messaging back and forth with him, and I said, did you ever meet him? He says, no, never met the guy, the accused suspect. But he was out here hunting down, or actually trying to find people to go to Ukraine with him, which I thought was pretty interesting. In fact, there was a little bit of that here.
Why here? So the question as far as why I'm here, to me, you know, a lot of the other conflicts are gray, but this conflict is definitely black and white. This is about good versus evil. This is a storybook. You know, any movie we've ever watched, this is definitely evil against good. I mean,
So he was out hunting around here. This was a few years ago. He was hunting for freedom fighters to go to Ukraine. And it's well known that apparently now that this guy just absolutely hated Trump. I found it interesting that they talked to Ryan Ruth's son, who was kind of surprised. What, Dad did this? Dad doesn't even own a gun. Dad's never owned a gun as far as I knew. Well, apparently he owns one now, or at least he owned one, an AK. And he did not get a chance to open fire. Secret Service agent saw him first, sticking the rifle through the fence line, and then engaged him, and he ran off. And I remember my first reaction was, oh, you got to be S-ing me. It's what I was thinking. You got to be kidding me. You know, just 2 months after we had another one. And then you had the sheriff's department, the sheriff on the press conference after the shooting, or, you know, after Ruth was taken into custody. Everyone stepping around, everyone just patting each other on the back for how great it was, how great it was. Everybody did the right thing. How did a guy with an AK get within 300 to 500 yards of the president again? I mean, last time it was an AR. Yeah, it was a little bit closer this time, but, you know, come on. What, you're not thinking that the fence where the bushes and the trees are and are on the edge of Trump's golf course, you think that's not a reasonable place to have a perimeter set up? But once again, I think the sheriff let the cat out of the bag, said, well, you know, he's not a current president. He wouldn't have the current level of security of a sitting president. He's had words to that effect. He's probably going to rue that, but not because he wasn't telling the truth, because he was telling the truth. I think that's the way the system was looking at it. But I'm thinking, you know, you have to kind of operate from the second assassination. You know, he's already had one assassination attempt, and now you want to go for two? You want to keep saying, well, you know, he's not a sitting president. No, he's just one of two who could become president. That's just it. I was just like shaking my head about it, but everyone talking about all the law enforcement people on the news conference are patting each other on the back here. You know, there are two people who I think are worthy of praise, really. One of them would be the Secret Service agent who actually saw the rifle, saw the barrel going through the fence, and then engaged. I mean, that's great. But the second one had to be the private citizen who saw the alleged suspect drop everything and run. He had the presence of mind to snap a picture not only of the suspect, if I recall correctly, because I haven't heard much about that ever since that, but also took a picture of the vehicle and also took a picture of the license plate and then called it in. And so they were able to get the suspect after a short time. called it in with the license plate readers, and then they ended up having a hit. Just like, wow, what presence of mind, you know, to do that. Unless it's a setup and this is a, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald conspiracy theory Thursday situation. But from all accounts, Ryan Routh did not, or Ruth rather, however you want to pronounce it, did not really talk about this or ask, hey, why are you pulling me over? Why are you arresting me? So I don't know if this is a tacit admission that of having wanted to do it or not. But that's where we find ourselves. And now remember, this is what you have to remember. You have the second assassination attempt in almost exactly 2 months on former President Trump. And what was CBS television advertising Sunday afternoon on 60 Minutes for that night?
Democracy stopped for about 6 hours. The vote was counted at 3:44 a.m. With 2 weeks until Inauguration Day, it was the Trump Justice Department that set the standards for the prosecutions.
Yes, a revisit of January 6th, his threat to democracy.
Decisions were made by career prosecutors who work at justice for years, regardless of who the president might be.
The career prosecutors quickly realized that you needed guidelines in place, determinations about who was going to be charged, who wasn't going to be charged, and what they would be charged with. That process started in January 7th, 2021, during the prior administration. To this day, we continue to use guidelines that the career prosecutors put in place during the prior administration.
And how do they guide you?
What we're generally focusing on, of the thousands of people who you could potentially charge that day, are people who actually entered into the Capitol, people who engaged in violent or destructive behavior, people who illegally carried firearms or other weapons on Capitol grounds.
How many firearms were carried other than police officers, like the one that shot Ashley Babbitt? I don't recall there being a lot of firearms being carried into the Capitol, do you?
People who helped others to get into the Capitol building.
You're not charging everyone who was there that day.
That is correct. We have turned down hundreds of cases where the FBI is saying, there is evidence here, it's your determination, prosecutors, whether you think this should be prosecuted.
And why would you turn them down?
Because they don't fit within the guidelines that the career prosecutors have been using, or we don't think that there's sufficient evidence to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Oh, thank you, career prosecutors. Thank you, career prosecutors. I feel so much safer now. Yeah, that's what CBS News was advertising for after football last night. Of course, I don't watch football, nor was I watching 60 Minutes, but I couldn't help it. Second assassination attempt, and you're going back to the well of the threat to democracy. And, oh my gosh, democracy stopped. Are we wondering why the Fruit Loops react the way they do, the way they've been inculcated? Can you hate the mainstream media enough, yet still today, same day, second assassination attempt, and 60 Minutes going off on threat to democracy. Democracy stopped. Ay, ay, ay. We'll cover that and more coming up here in the next few minutes. And In fact, I want to get your calls, especially after the 6:30 break here. I promised I was going to talk with Dr. Jane Orient, MD, and I really do want to talk with her because she has some important COVID news, especially as you're being propagandized to get the new shot. We'll have a quick talk with her before she ends up taking off. And then back to your calls on the assassination attempt and anything else on your mind, too. This is the Bill Myers Show.
I Feel the Earth Move is a pop hit recorded by Carole King in 1971. If your house has sloping floors, cracks in walls, or doors and windows that are not shutting smoothly, you may not have felt the earth move, but you can bet it's happening. Call Millett Construction for a free inspection and estimate to level your house and fix the water issue that's causing the problem. By the way, the flip side of the 45 was even a bigger hit. It's too late, so don't wait. Visit MilletConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
The only thing better than hitting the open road is your vehicle looking sharp while you're doing it. So if you have a crunch in your car that's keeping it from looking its best, Lithia Body and Paint invites you to stop by so they can have a look. Simple dents and dings are often easy, fast, and affordable to fix. Plus, it's an unscientific fact that your car runs better when it looks like new. Your look good before the road trip headquarters is Lithia Body and Paint. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Well, you know, it's Orlist, Tobin Spas, we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why, you ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, it's Lamont here from Orlist. Now is the time to stop by to add warmth, savings, and value to your home with a Blaze King, the most efficient, longest-burning wood stove available. With a burn time of up to 40 hours, a Blaze King produces constant, thermostatically controlled heat for any size home. When you choose a Blaze King, you'll be saving big on your heating costs while burning less wood in one of the lowest emission stoves available. Beat the price increases and the weather now. Come into Orleans for a limited time and get a record-breaking 30% tax credit off qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Orleans has the largest selection of qualifying units in Southern Oregon. And don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Remember, Orleans is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spas dealer at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway.
Hi, I'm Mark with Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, and I'm on KMED.
22 minutes after 6, Dr. J and Orient MG, MG, making you a car make. Let's try this again, Dr. Orient. Dr. Jane Orient, MD, Executive Director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, AAPSonline.org. Welcome to the show. Good morning, Doctor.
Hey, thank you, Bill.
I wanted to bring you in here for a few minutes. I know that a lot of the national news is all about the Trump assassination attempt, the second one, but there are some stories that are getting lost in the shuffle, especially medical. And there's a lot of propagandize going on with COVID vaccines, and some interesting studies are coming out. And you've been at the forefront of keeping people informed over at AAPSonline.org. And one of them that you released over the weekend had to do with you were posing the question, are you getting your latest booster? Because there's all sorts of promotion of COVID and RSV shots. And I was wondering if you could give us a medical opinion about what's been going on with this.
Well, certainly people are being told to get all of their shots, COVID shots, flu shots. We don't know what the implications are of getting more than one shot at a time, but anyway, it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really not very much information given to the people about potential side effects, which are beginning to become known. I mean, early on when everyone was panicked and the vaccines hadn't been out for very long, this is one thing, but now they've been out since 2020. And so we can see what some of the long-term effects are. And this one study showed that vaccinated people versus unvaccinated people seem to have a higher incidence of minor cognitive decline, which is a precursor to Alzheimer's or full-blown dementia. And it seems to increase with time after getting the shot. Well, this is not a double-blind controlled study. Can you imagine being proposed to participate in that, saying, well, let's give you this shot and follow your mental status for several years and see whether you're more likely to become demented than if you hadn't gotten the shot? But, you know, most people are not going to sign up saying, you mean that's a possibility?
Well, what you were talking about in the note that you had popped me before you agreed to come on here is that studies published in 2020 actually showed a falling incidence of dementia and cognitive decline since the 1980s, that overall it was just going down. And then one can't help but see the explosion of dementia cases, people they know personally, and also I would dare say the explosion of memory care centers. You can't help but notice that. Now, of course, that could be just be demographically with you know, baby boomers starting to age into elder statesmen, so to speak. But any thoughts about that? What could be driving it?
Well, it's difficult to sort out the demographic factor. Mm-hmm. It's just that if you do have two groups, vaccinated and unvaccinated, and the vaccinated seems to be worse, well, that should give you pause. I mean, there are all kinds of potential mechanisms for vaccines to cause neurologic damage. And there are a whole long list of neurologic effects, you know, Bell's palsy, strokes, neuralgia, all kinds of things. tinnitus or ringing in the ears, even blindness, that are reported after getting the vaccine. And people say, well, it's coincidental and anybody can report. And so we don't really know for sure what's causing them. But on the other hand, we don't know for sure that the vaccines are not causing things like that.
And is there any interest in investigating whether the vaccines actually dead bang are the cause of this at this point in time?
Well, I've written a series of editorials about negative evidence. That is, things that you would expect to see there. And naturally, that, well, if people seem to be dying suddenly or they seem to be having strokes and we've got this new thing, this novel vaccine, why aren't all of these academic centers jumping on this and doing all kinds of research? And they're just not, which sounds sort of like a cover-up.
Or is it that there is just no money to do those studies? Because you've talked about before how the pharmaceutical industry tends to be funding the vast majority of studies these days. Is that not the case? Or
well,
has
I
that
guess
changed?
People think that the NIH funds studies or the National Science Foundation or the CDC, but all of these agencies have developed conflicts of interest where their own bureaucrats have patents, they profit from vaccines, they profit from certain drugs, and we are really not getting the sort of research funding that one would expect if people were really interested in finding out the answers.
Is there any, are there any people other than you and AAPS and maybe, you know, the Dell Bigtrees of the world, so to speak, who are speaking out against the push for vaccinating COVID, which kind of strikes me as strange given that COVID is so mild now, if you do end up getting it. But is there any mainstream that's going after this at this point?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you look at the New England Journal, I read JAMA, I look at our state medical association or our county society, and they're all on the safe and effective vaccines. Get them now. Something worse will happen if you don't take it. And doctors who do speak out are afraid of losing their job.
This is still going on?
Medical license.
Wait a minute. Dr. Orient, you're telling me that 4 years after COVID, 4 years after we know that how much of a distortion, or some would say a lie, that the safe and effective vaccine, doctors are still afraid to speak out even now, 4 years later?
Oh yeah, of course they are, because they're still being penalized. They're still getting investigations from the medical board. They're still being deplored in the medical literature. And all of the societies are giving information about, here's where you can get your vaccine. Get it now.
Uh-huh. I hear the ads that are running here. I heard Hugh Hewitt earlier this morning talking about getting the flu shot and the COVID vaccine at the same time. And I'm trying to think, why would you do that? You know, for one thing. I mean, getting them both at the same time, if you were going to do something like that, wouldn't it be wiser to space them out anyway? Just curious.
Well, of course, there are all kinds of drug interactions. And if you do have an adverse reaction, how can you tell which one it was if you got both of them at the same time?
But, doctor, after 4 years, ever since Safe and Effective came out, we know that no matter what happens to somebody, it's never the safe and effective vaccine from COVID. It just never is. It just seems that you're not allowed to think that.
Well, you're not. You might even get fired. Our nurses reported this, that if they report to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, they are penalized. It's a pain in the neck to do in the first place. But if they do it, they may find themselves punished on the job. So naturally, there's underreporting.
Now, how is it that the Surgeon General of Florida, Joseph Lodapo, Dr. Lodapo, he's like the only one in the entire country that's come out against it at this point?
Is he the only man in the country or the public health department that has any courage? I mean, the evidence is there. You have to raise the question. You can say, well, we're not entirely sure about this, but there are certainly safety signals. Why is Joseph Lodapo the only man in the public health establishment that's willing to say that?
Yeah. Of course, it gives us pause every time you hear the PSAs coming on from the public health agencies. That is for sure. Doctor, I'm going to share the data that you have shared with me, and I'm going to put that up. And, of course, you can read up more on this at aapsonline.org. And it's good food for thought. And and by the way, as far as the flu shots, are yearly flu shots a good policy according, you know, in your medical opinion, having looked at the record?
Well, there's a lot of evidence that they don't do any good. And people do die from them occasionally. There are adverse effects. So I'm just wondering, why do we do this? I mean, there are no long-term studies about repeatedly getting this immunization year after year. How is that harming your health? Well, we haven't asked the question, so we don't know the answer.
Dr. Jane Orient, MD, is the Executive Director, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, aapsonline.org. I know you have to catch a plane at this point, and boy, we don't want you late for the TSA. Okay, doctor?
Okay.
All right. Talk to you when you get back. You take care. Dr. Jane Orient, MD, some food for medical thought this morning. 6:32 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG is where you are. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The FDA has approved Apple's new AirPods Pro 2 to be used as hearing aids when paired with an iOS 18 compatible iPhone or iPad. iOS 18, the software through which the hearing aid feature will be available, is set to arrive by October. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said a decision on whether to approve Nippon Steel's $14.9 billion purchase of U.S. steel is not imminent. The Committee on Foreign Investment, the agency that is reviewing the proposal, has not yet offered a recommendation to President Biden. WalletHub has released a list of the top 10 best cities to retire in based on several factors, including the share of population over 65, weather, violent crime rate, and more. Pearl City and Honolulu in Hawaii rank in the top two. Other top spots include Scottsdale, Arizona, and Madison, Wisconsin. Futures are mixed. That's your money now.
We're here with Susan, who had her well drilled by Clouser Drilling. Susan, what made you choose Clouser?
I checked around town, asked friends of mine who they had used, and Clouser came up every time, A number one, from realtors to actual residences.
And what stood out to you?
Everything, frankly. From when they first arrived, locating the water, walking the property, the site selection. They were very methodical, very careful. I was impressed with their entire approach.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Oregon DMV registered around 300 non-U.S. citizens to vote, and the Secretary of State has ordered updates to impacted voter registrations. This after what's being called mistakes were uncovered with Oregon's motor voter system. Secretary of State Yvonne Griffin-Vallad says the mistake occurred when DMV misidentified the type of documentation presented by the persons requesting a new driver's license or state ID. Mount Bachelor reopened Saturday as firefighters continue to mop up smaller fires in the Bachelor complex. On the Middle Fork Fire, the Pacific Crest Trail is fully reopened in the Crater Lake National Park, but three other trails are still closed. The Central Point Police Department arrested a man who worked at Children's World Montessori School in Ashland for child exploitation. Officers received information about a five-year-old girl who was molested in July. 68-year-old Craig Albert Johnson was arrested for a variety of sex crimes. Police say other victims have been identified. Bill London, KMED.
A couple of months after the first attempt on his life, another assassination attempt targeting former President Trump. It happened as Mr. Trump was playing golf yesterday at his club in West Palm Beach, Florida. Unlike the July attack, this time no one was hurt, or worse. Mr. Trump tells supporters he's safe and well, adding that, in his words, "I will never surrender." Meanwhile, President Biden says it's clear the Secret Service needs more help. Some 8,000 firefighters slowly gaining ground as they continue battling several big wildfires in Southern California. The largest has burned 85 square miles in the Angeles National Forest east of L.A. The strongest typhoon to hit the global financial hub of Shanghai since 1949, wreaking havoc there. The opening bell just sounding this morning on Wall Street, the Dow starting off the day sharply higher. This is SRN News.
Out of sight, out of mind, right? Don't let that be the case as you prioritize your home repair projects. Terra Firma Foundation Systems reminds you, while you can't typically see your home's foundation, it's critical to the stability and strength of your home. Even if you never peek in your crawl space, it's impacting the health of your home. Those out-of-sight areas need to be on your mind. Foundation and moisture issues only get worse and more costly over time. But Terra Firma can help. Terra Firma keeps homes safe, dry, and stable. Click GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 1735.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
770-5633, the number here. And my question for you this morning is your reaction. What was your first reaction? What came into your head when you found out that practically 2 months after the first assassination, yet another assassination attempt on former President Trump, got within 300 to 500 yards... Ryan Ruth, registered Democrat, was living in Hawaii. Like I said, I talked to my brother Mike, or my text message my brother Mike. He came from Greensboro, North Carolina. That's where my brother lives. Brother Mike lives. And I said, "Did you ever meet him?" He said, "No, never met him." But he had come from Hawaii, and he was out there trying to hunt for freedom fighters for Ukraine. And somehow this guy ended up. There are all sorts of questions that kind of pop through my head, because even his kid said, "I never knew Dad to have a gun." Now, maybe he got one when he was in. Well, I doubt he got the gun in Hawaii, because Hawaii is a very, very difficult place to own a firearm, next to impossible quite often. Now, maybe he bought one when he was in North Carolina, when he was living in North Carolina. Possibility. I don't know how he could have purchased one in Florida, given that, he wasn't a resident of Florida. I have all sorts of questions about this. And, in fact, I think Hans Albuquerque brought up some of these other questions. And, here we go. Hans Albuquerque wrote me this morning. He says, "Hey, Bill, if the Don schedule was labeled off the record by the Secret Service, how does some schmo from Hawaii know about it at the last minute? Reports say he's unemployed. How does he buy plane tickets, rental cars, hotels, and gets an AK in a state he's only visiting?" Yeah, I wondered about that too, Hans. "And the Fifth Green is on a corner adjacent to a main street. Again, no drones, no security along the street during the Don's 15-minute at the Green, or even an hour prior to." Yeah, that's what it's looking like. A lot of questions. Of course, I know. Who was it, the sheriff's official? I think he was the sheriff. I had a note about that here. See if I can find that. Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah, Colin Rugg, sheriff. "The Trump assassination suspect was hiding in the bushes with an AK, with a scope, two backpacks, and a GoPro. The Secret Service agents were one hole ahead." And officials on why Trump did not have more security, because he isn't the sitting president. No, he isn't the sitting president. He's a former president. He's trying to be president again, and they already shot at him once just a couple of months ago. I'll tell you, that kind of excuse is starting to get a little thin at this point, wouldn't you say? That was the first thought going through my head when I heard about that. Like I said, first thought through my head was actually, "Oh, you're S-ing me," using the term for excrement. Linda came out and told me about it. I was in the garage doing some stuff. But anyway, what happened with you, huh? 770-5633. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
This is Miner Dave.
Dave, what are you thinking this morning, huh?
My first thought was, the administrative state is worrying they're going to lose power because there's too many questions about this because it was at the last minute that he was going golfing. It wasn't even sure he was going to go. Like, his normal time is like 10 a.m., you know, but he was eating breakfast at that time. He didn't get there until almost noon.
And you see, now that makes you wonder, though, Dave, if this was a last-minute sort of thing, how would the alleged shooter have known this? Isn't that an interesting question, Dave? I think we lost. Did we lose Dave? I think we lost your cell phone. Sorry about that, Dave. Oh, well, life out in the Iron Gate, right? But yeah, that's an interesting question. Yeah, this was supposedly all last minute or off the record. How would the guy have known to have been there? Doesn't make sense, does it? A lot of questions we should be asking this morning. But we can talk about that if you wish. 770-563-3770-KMED. Your first thought as you saw this. There's other news going on here, too. I was reading in the Military Times that the Pentagon is going to unveil a new program to boost the quality of life for our soldiers. Noel Robertson ended up writing this over the weekend. In fact, Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, traveled Friday to the Maxwell Air Force Base, where he announced new goals to lower living costs, improve the quality of life for service members and their families. Austin joining First Lady Jill Biden, yay, touring the base to bring attention to a universal pre-kindergarten program put in place for schools run by the Defense Department. That's right. You need more woke indoctrination. Get him in there as a 3 or 4 year old, right, Dr. Jill? The Pentagon brands the trip around taking care of our people. Some of the measures include flexible spending accounts for active duty troops to hold up to $3,200 pre-tax for qualified medical expenses. I'm surprised they didn't already have that. Expanded Wi-Fi access in barracks. Yay. Got to be able to get to the porn, right? Increasing the number of days to expense temporary lodging during military moves from 14 to 21 days, making more military spouses eligible for work training, helping recruit and retain child care workers, and reviewing the quality and costs of uniforms. Just some of the stuff they want to do to help make life better. Now, here's another really interesting little military tidbit that I had saved from a couple of weeks ago. Because there's been all this complaint about all this woke ideology permeating the military world. The Air Force basic trainees now are trying to seek a warfighter mindset, and trainees are now carrying rifles throughout their boot camp. In a move meant to boast fighting spirit in new Air Force and Space Force recruits, basic trainees are now issued M4 rifles early in boot camp, which they carry and maintain throughout their course at Lackland Air Force Base. Carrying a weapon throughout boot camp is a longstanding practice in the Army and Marine Corps, but has been kind of an on-again, off-again policy at the Air Force, which I find pretty interesting. So the new trainer weapon program, which has trainees walking around, well, they're inert M4s at this point, but still getting them in the mode, and it's kind of funny that you would think that the whole idea of having people signing up in the military would be to have a warfighter mindset, but I guess they figured in Air Force we had to actually do something intentional to say warfighter. By the way, this is going to be a warfighter thing. This is not just you coming in here to train to be a pilot. So as, what was it, the late Lou Gossett Jr. said, an officer and a gentleman, so you could go out and sell your services to United Airlines. I loved him. He was great at that movie. Anyway, so we got that story. So, warfighting mentality. Yay, it's about time. 6:45, let me go to the phones back there. Hello, KMED and KPXG. Who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill, this is Earl from Central Point.
Earl, Central Point, what's happening? What's on your mind today, huh?
Hey, my thought on this attempted assassination is, I would bet Kamala Harris has got all the Secret Service security she needs and more.
Well, as Rugg said in that press conference yesterday, that she is a sitting vice president. So she's actually in the office. If you're trying for the office, well, there's a different security protocol, apparently.
Yeah, but it would seem to me also that Secret Service is one of the ultimate top security agencies in the world, and they don't seem to ever know anything about anything.
It's reactive rather than proactive?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, totally reactive.
Yeah, that was my concern there, too. I still would have thought that, you know, anything within rifle range of former President Trump, you would think that you'd be looking at something like that, wouldn't you, or have some sort of perimeter set up around it?
That was a short-barreled AK-47. It wasn't the full operable, full-length barrel AK-47. I know because I have one.
Oh.
And
That probably wouldn't have been as good a long-distance hit.
His range,
right?
Or make his accuracy a lot less.
All right, so that it would have been a harder putt then at 300 to 500 yards with a shortened barrel AK.
How good is this guy? Nobody seems to know how good this guy is as a shooter. Because we know that the guy in the first one went to the range a lot and practiced a lot. So he was possibly a very good shooter. But the second guy, we don't know squat about him yet.
Yeah. Well, they took him alive, though, and no shots were fired except shots at him. So that was a much better outcome than the first time around, for sure.
Well, then, too, if I was going to pick a rifle to shoot long range, it would not be an AK-47.
No.
They're not the most accurate rifles out there.
I have to tell you, I'm glad you brought that up, that if it was between an AK and an AR, I think it's a little easier to make an AR a bit more accurate if you're looking for that portable lightweight rifle than the AK.
Yeah, you take the AR 7.62.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be the most accurate one out there for that kind of range.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that qualifies with the M16 qualifies at 550 yards. And that's a 5.56.
Just a standard, right? Just the standard round in that. Yeah.
Yes.
So 500, 550 rounds. Now, I do know that the AK, that's the 7.62, right? 7.62.
Yeah, it is a 7.62, yes.
And now, it's shorter than a 308, isn't it, if I recall?
It is the same as.
Oh, it is the same as. So it's essentially a 308 cartridge.
It is a 308 round. I've used my M14 rounds in my rifle, my deer rifle.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's a 308. They're interchangeable.
All right. So nothing wrong with the round, but the rifle would not be your choice for a 500-yard hit, right?
No. I would go with the AR-15 or my deer rifle, actually, is what I would go for.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thanks for the call and your opinion there, especially knowledgeable one. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. This is Bill.
This is Dan.
Hello, Dan. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to give a thanks to you because your job, I don't know how you do it. You must have an iron stomach or something, day after day, to talk about this stuff all the time. But I appreciate your program because it's like a vent for us out here, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. And, there are days, Dan, that I was just kind of hoping to wake up and hear everybody's doing the right thing. And we don't have stupid people in charge. That's always my dream, right? A fella can dream, can't he?
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
Well, I'm a little distraught about the Christian voters in this state, for one thing, but nationwide, too. But I just really hope that they turn out this election because they just haven't been, and I think it's sad that they don't.
Did you say Christian voters?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure I heard you. So there's evidence that Christian voters are not voting?
Well, they've taken a lot of surveys, and they say that even in Oregon, there's a big percentage of Christians that don't vote, and they end up being a lot of one-issue voters, like abortion is a big deal.
So if abortion's not on the ballot, they don't care then? Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they don't get everything they want, they just won't vote for the person, even if, you know, they'd rather let the Democrat get in, and then, you know. So it's really frustrating to me.
Do you think we're looking at a situation like that this year? Because President Trump is striking, I would say, I think the Republicans in general are trying to strike a moderate tone on this because there is no appetite for a nationwide abortion ban. I mean, Christians for the longest time were saying, hey, we wanted it returned to the states. And so that's what Republicans fought for with getting rid of Roe v. Wade. And now, yeah. I guess all I can figure, Dan, is that what's going on is that many Christians are feeling very left out because, meanwhile, they fought to get abortion returned to the states, but the states became more pro-abortion, right?
Well, yeah. I think that they also were frustrated that the Republican platform hasn't addressed it strongly enough.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. Well, the challenge for Republicans is that, and I hate to say this, is that there's a lot of abortion because abortion is popular, and that is... that speaks a lot to the corrosion of morality within the general American populace.
I agree.
And so, you know, if you're really trying, you're going to have to change hearts and minds, not you. I'm talking about, the abortion folks really, or the ones that that's their single issue. The job at this point is to change hearts and minds because you're probably not going to get any big bans passed. You're certainly not going to get a ban passed in Oregon. You know that.
Well, crying out loud, Trump got a lot accomplished for that purpose. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. You got to do it incrementally. You just can't have everything overnight.
Now, the main thing is to make it not so popular, is to try to convince people of the moral cause. And right now, there's not a lot of that going on. I appreciate your call, though. Thanks for checking in. And let's hope that people don't sit on their hands this time around. All right. Thanks, Dan. Let me go to line three. It is Monday morning, 6:52, KMED, KBXG. I'm Bill. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. It's Jeff and Tilma.
Hello, Jeff. What's going on?
Hey, my take on the attempt is that the Secret Service needs some makeup on the black eye that they got on the first round. So
okay.
This guy spots a muzzle poking through the bushes from how far away? You know, and then so he opens fire on the guy. You know, we don't really know what took place. And then they catch the guy, you know, a little later on, but he leaves his backpack and the rifle and everything else behind. Of course, when you want to run, you can't carry along all that stuff.
No.
But I think, you know, there's a good possibility that, hey, you know, we need to, now we'll look golden because we stopped the second guy.
It could be a little bit of that. I mean, just human nature. Could it also just be that after one assassination attempt, they're more careful? I mean, it could be just people really honestly trying to do their job to the best of their ability. I don't want to sell them short. Do you?
I'm fairly certain there's going to be several attempts on Trump because he's so hated. And he stands for things that the people in power don't like, and a lot of radicals don't like, who are willing to take the chance to have their day of glory. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, Jeff, I find it interesting that there was more negative media reaction to Trump saying that he hated Taylor Swift than there was for, you know, Taylor Swift essentially hating Trump.
Well, that's what I mean. The left is not a majority. You know, and the only way they can get into office is cheat their way in, but you know, and lie. But you know, most of them do, Republican or Democrat. They, you know, tell the people what they want to hear, so I can get in there and do the things that I want to do.
Pretty much. So I guess really, there's only two types of candidates. Are you an agenda based? Are you going to support the agenda? You know, the basic blob agenda, or are you not going to support the basic blob agenda? And that's where we find ourselves right now. Thank you, Jeff. You be well. 6:54. We'll keep things going. First thought maybe went through your head when you heard about the second assassination attempt. Oh, my goodness. Or anything else on your mind, too. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Tim from Merlin.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
Yeah, a couple things. One, the 7.62x39, it's what the AK round is. It's a shorter cartridge, and it isn't as powerful. It's like the equivalent of a 30-30.
Okay, so I was right about that then. It's a shorter cartridge overall, but you could probably throw it into a 308 and it'll fire fine, right?
No, if you did that with it, you'd blow up your gun. If there's room in the chamber and you put a smaller bullet in there, you're going to have an explosion inside there that you will never forget.
Okay, well, I will remind myself to not do something like that, even though I don't own a 308 at this point.
People blow up their guns from that. What it is the 308 round is much more powerful, goes out the barrel faster. The AK round is what the equivalent of a 30-30. So people shot bear with 30-30s, but it was, you know, it took a brave man to do it because it would take more than one bullet to kill that bear necessarily if you didn't hit it in the vital place.
Yeah, and if the bear is charging you, boy, you don't want to have to hit it twice, right?
No, you want shock value, and the range of a 308 is incredible. But what I thought, I heard this on the Benny Show, and then Sean Hannity was talking about it, which is expand the perimeter protection. If they had the same perimeter that they give Joe Biden, this never would have happened. The guy would never been able to get into the bushes. They would probably close the highway down outside. And so it was just something that shouldn't have happened. And one more thing, if I was hated by Taylor Swift, I'd be feeling pretty good about being hated by somebody that doesn't have a mind. You know, she's not very smart.
Yes, but she's very rich, and she writes lots of songs about having made bad choices, and she sends them all to the pre-teenage kids. What could go wrong here? What could go wrong?
I know. It's like Bob Newhart said on the Johnny Carson show one time. He said, you know, all country songs are the same. They have the same words, just different music. You know, it's all about personal tragedy, and if your dog died or your wife left you and stuff like that, so... That's what I think about that.
And, of course, you know the dad joke, if you play the country song backwards, you get it all back, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I got a dad joke real quick. It won't be long.
Okay.
Why did the chicken cross the street?
I don't know. Why did the chicken cross the street?
She wanted to show the possum that it could be done.
I like that. You got a dad joke of the day award, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Dad joke, you know, that just... I wasn't even going to do this, but hey, he brings it up. He's got a dad joke. That's great. Dad Jokes of the Day are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. Now, if you have a better joke than what he told, just go to twodogsfab.com and email it to them, and maybe we'll use your joke some morning here. But by the way, they have a season closeout on the Iron Bull and also North Star dealers. They still have some amazing rebates that they were talking about, the end-of-season closeout on that. And TDF can do any kind of hitch or tongue repair, metal fabrication, trailer sales, flatbed sales. Get you a good-looking rig over at Two Dogs Fab. It's on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. If you're on hold, I'll get right to you. This is the Bill Meyer Show.
Summer's winding down, but the savings are heating up at Kelly's Automotive Service. We're saying goodbye to summer with a deal you can't miss. Get a full synthetic oil change up to 6 quarts, plus a free air filter, including installation up to $35, a digital vehicle inspection, and a Rain-X windshield treatment. That's a $250 value for just $99. Los Cars and Light Trucks. Get your car ready for the new season. Hurry in, the special is only here for September. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
When was the last time you had your well water tested? The EPA recommends that all private wells be tested at least once a year. If you can't remember when you had your water quality tested, it's time. Water quality can change radically from year to year, and you don't want to mess around. Grants Pass Water Lab offers next-day results for bacteria tests and a speedy 3 to 5 days for the full reporting that meets all state requirements. Online at gpwaterlab.com. Independent and serving the Rogue Valley for over 40 years.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa to enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Meyer and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking Alexa to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Hardcastles Trailers, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
This is the Bill Meyer Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
7 o'clock, KMED, KMED HD1 Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. And we have Daniel on the phone here. Daniel, what was on your mind today, huh? Go ahead.
Well, I noticed that I didn't hear about this second attempt until early this morning.
Really?
And what I kind of wanted to just share was that it feels like we're not getting
a whole lot of coverage, especially from our mainstream media, on these events. And I look back to the first time this happened, and the coverage that happened, there was a lot of it, but not a lot of information was shared. And it just makes me really question the integrity of our mainstream media and what they're trying to do.
Hmm. Well, I know that Town Hall had it like right away, and they did it in the top and bottom updates all afternoon yesterday. I know Fox was on it, and I think CNN was on it. When you talk about mainstream, how are you defining that? I'm just kind of curious.
Really, all our main, you know, NBC, MSNBC, mm-hmm. all the real big top hitters, especially for more the Democrat side.
Mm, okay. You thought they downplayed it then? I didn't watch them, so I didn't know.
Yeah. Huh. You might get a brief information of something, but it doesn't feel like it's really in your face like some of the other events that have happened. Almost like to them, it's not a big deal.
Maybe if Taylor Swift had an assassination attempt instead of Donald Trump, that would have been a big deal, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be. Could be. Daniel, appreciate the call. Let me go to Tom. Hello, Tom. You're going to wrap. You're batting cleanup for the entire hour. I know you'll hit it out of the park. You always do.
It's a big order, Bill.
I know.
But I think the biggest thing going on is this UN meeting coming up in New York later this month, and it's called the Program for the Future of Mankind. And basically, it's the implementation of the digitalization of money and everything else. And it's kind of dismaying to see how the so-called freedom right is always reactive rather than proactive. So they're getting set at a certain point. You probably get some notice from your bank that says your money will no longer be accessible until you sign up for the digitalization pass card that you can put on your cell phone or whatever. And it's going to be it could be implemented very suddenly, or you might have less than a month to get your ducks in order. I would really like to see a plan by local government, the Board of Commissioners, and so forth, to really say, hey, let's set up an alternative monetary plan so that we can continue functioning here and have food to eat and so forth and so on. It's going to be really tough when they put this on. You talk about chaos and everything. Oh, boy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
So the digitization, what is the United Nations plan called? Because I'm sorry to be a little flat-footed on this particular
Project for the Future of Mankind.
Project for the – boy, that's not a big deal, right?
No. They, of course not. No, they're deciding for us what our future is. Isn't that wonderful? We have these kind, generous, wonderful, benevolent people figuring out what our future is going to be.
Okay. United Nations, I'm not finding that. So it must be cold.
You can go on Lou Rockwell midway down the line. You'll see an article by Peter. It's towards an oppressive digital new world order.
Ah, Peter Koenig's article. Okay, I hadn't had a chance to look at Rockwell this morning. Oh, it's that's just it. United Nations World for the Future Conference.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There is nothing more than I would like than for the people that are at the shrimp fests for the United Nations deciding our future for us. Yeah.
Yeah, it just gives you that warm, fuzzy feeling in your stomach that just to know these wonderful people have decided what our future is going to be.
Yeah, very much like Kate Brown with climate-friendly, equitable community. You live in Stack and Pack, but you'll be happy because you don't have to go anywhere. You won't need to go anywhere. Oh, by the way, you won't be allowed to go anywhere, you know, ultimately. Right.
Yeah, so we have this whole march. It's like what's happening in Ukraine with, you know, the march towards World War III. And it's going to, since these assassinations attempts haven't been successful, I think I've said it before, but I think people that in running things would prefer World War III rather than have Trump elected. Hmm. I know it sounds kind of crazy to say, but You know, it is true that World War III could ruin your entire day. And these people don't seem to really be caring about that, because they got to get rid of the worst guy in history in their minds, because he's a real impediment to the military-industrial complex view of the world.
Tom, you know, I wanted to bring you up. You talked about this digital enslavement package that Conan's writing about under Global Research. And, you know, there is a digital enslavement package that, yeah, they would probably like to do that. But, you know, analog ropes still work really well when they're applied to the necks of tyrants, aren't they?
Well, that's analog ropes. I kind of like that that concept. Yes, that's what I call the lamppost solution.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And you don't know if at a certain – I don't know if the –
But, I mean, it's not that I'm advocating violence. The thing is, though, is that you have people who are actually, you know, planning their war against us right now as you speak about. So they deserve to be, you know, they deserve essentially to be taken care of as you would a war criminal coming after you, you know?
Well, it certainly is. What's happened with COVID, you talked, you know, with a good doctor this morning, and what they've implemented is a crime against humanity, and it's war crimes, and they should be prosecuted, but nothing is happening. We've become so passive as a population.
Well, at this point, the population feels they have something to lose, and
what I'm saying is that they don't react until they've lost it already. I'd like to see some real proactive steps taken before they implement all this basically tyranny, worldwide tyranny.
Hmm. Point well taken on that. And do you remember back in the days when the Democrat Party actually used to be pretty good on fighting for freedom being taken away?
Oh, yeah. As John F. Kennedy said, when you make peaceful evolution impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. And that's what that's exactly what the Democrat Party's doing with their blocking of honest elections.
Exactly. And it appears that now they are, since they're the ones really in charge of the administrative state, maybe they figure that, they're what did we talk about? World for the future, the world of the future planned by us would be so good. All right. Tom, appreciate the call, okay? And thank you for this. Towards an oppressive digital new world order, the United Nations World for the Future. That's on lourockwell.com today. Peter Koenig. I'm going to have to read this. Maybe I'll read this during the rest of the news break, okay? KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. KBXG, Grants Pass.